And unto the church of Thyatira writes, these things saith the Son of God, who are eyes like a flame of fire, his feet are like fine brass. I know your works of love, and I know your works of service and faith and patience. And there are a few things that I have against you. One is that you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to come and commit sexual immorality. I gave her a time to repent, but she did not. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her, and will give her into a great tribulation, unless she repents of their deeds. I will also kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of them according to their works. Now unto you I say, to the rest of you in Thyatira, as many as who do not have this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of which Satan has held, I will put no other burden upon you, except this one. Hold fast till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my word until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. Also I have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We have, as you know, but for our guests, we are going through a series called You've Got Mail. And we have been looking at the seven letters that were written to seven churches. We have looked at a church called Ephesus, who was a loveless church. They had lost their love. We also looked at the church of Cyrene, who were going through great persecution. And then we looked at a church last week who had allowed the politics of this world to join up with them. And we mentioned it last week that whenever politics and religion get together, it's not the greatest of mix. And we know by the Emperor Constantine, who brought this into being, that it turned out to be the biggest disaster that the churches have known today. And as we saw in a picture, Constantine brought the cross as a symbol. But inside the cross, he also had pagan fertility. And so the church had mixed up with the rituals of this world. And we did that last week. All these three churches are on CD or on the internet. But we need now to look at the fourth church. And here in the fourth church, we see a church called Thyatira. It was in Western Asia Minor, and it was located between Pergamos and Sardis. It was situated on the banks of the Lycus River. It wasn't a great big city, but it was a very thriving manufacturing commercial city. And it was also a military city in New Testament times. Archaeologists have uncovered evidence of many, many things going on in this. And one of them, of course, was pagan custom and practices. And so it was not unusual that it crept into the church. And we know when we read the book of Corinthians, in the book of Corinthians, we know that the Christians who had been saved from pagan idolatry in Corinth were practicing those things that were going on that they had left. In other words, they got to a stage where sexual impurity and immorality had crept in even into the church of Corinth. And Paul had to address that issue, because what we can't do is condemn. Because we have to remember that these people had lived in a corrupt and pagan society. And suddenly, the good news of Jesus had reached them. But who knows that when you become born again, you don't lose all your baggage. Who knows that it takes years and years and years and years to lose your baggage. Because the Bible says in Philippians 1:6, he that's begun a good work in you will continue to do it until the day that Jesus comes again. So there'll always be baggage that we will need to get rid of. And so Paul addresses the issue that they had to change. Yes, Paul says, I remember the times when you used to go to worship in the heathen temple. And this was the procedure. You went in, you had sexual immorality with prostitutes. You then went and ate food and got drunk. You then went in and worshipped your stone idols. That was the procedure before you came to know Jesus. And Paul was saying, these things have not yet left you. And you remember Paul has to address the issue of communion in the first book of Corinthians. Because some were eating in the communion while others were starving. Some were getting intoxicated. And Paul was saying, I understand that that's the way you used to behave when you used to go to the temple. But behold, the things are new now. these things have got to go. And I'm so grateful for the church of Corinth, a messed up, mixed up church. But from that church, we get so much good doctrine, so much good teaching. And here later on, about 20 years further on down the road, here was a church here, Thyatira, who had once again allowed sexual immorality, who had once again allowed practices that they should have left behind, come back into the church. How many know that the church has got to be a church of purity? How many know that we cannot compromise our standards? How many of us know that we've got to be salt and light to a dying world? And you know, the Pope, he was gracious when he came to Birmingham 2 weeks ago. Or was it last week? I'm not sure. I think it was last week. And he allowed 5 people who had been sexually abused as children. And he came and said he was sorry to them. I don't know whether exactly those words were used, but the connotation was, he apologized for the sickness that had gone on in that church. And those men had a chance to tell them how, as young boys, they were molested. Friends, we cannot walk the same walk path as we used to walk. The church must be known as a church of purity. Otherwise, we're a church of hypocrisy. And sometimes our standards do sometimes slip. And I said it last week and I'll say it again, that sometimes the way ladies come dressed to church could sometimes be much more appropriate. That we are not in a society to tickle our fancies. But we're in a society of God's society where we are to be honourable. Jesus said, be ye pure, be you pure. Be you holy as I am holy. I just mean to say we'll get it right all the time. But what it means to say is that we have to come to a point in our lives when we are willing. And the Bible only says willing, that we are willing to let our practices go. I know that I can't change unless God changes me. See, I came to that point a long time ago. As perfect as I am, I know that I sometimes miss the mark. I know it's a rarity, but I sometimes miss the mark. I, inside me, cannot change. That's why I'm so grateful God gave me His Spirit. And as long as I say to God, Father, I'm willing to change, I want to change, I believe God has got something to work on. And I don't mind being challenged by God. I don't know whether you do. This is not in the notes. But I don't know whether you like being challenged by God. Some people find it an offense if God challenges them. I find it a blessing. I'm serious. If God wants to challenge me in something of my life, I find that a blessing. Because I can't put right sometimes when I think I'm okay. But it's only when God challenges you. And He challenges you because He loves you. And He says in the book of Hebrews, if I didn't challenge you, you don't belong to me. But because you do belong to me, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to shake you up. Because I love you. You know, the day your children start dictating to you what's going to happen in their lives, it's a downward trend, not only for you, but for your children. Children should not be given authority over their parents. I'm afraid it's the other way around. Parents have authority over their children. But we live in a society now where we're not allowed to do this, we're not allowed to do that, we're not allowed to do the other. But the Bible says, train a child up in the days of his youth, and when he is old, he will not depart from them. That's what the Bible says. Now we've got to go back to the Bible, friends. We really have. I'm serious, we've got to go back. We're living in a world of secularism. We're living in a world where we're supposed to be modern, where we're supposed to step up. But the Bible can never be compromised. Our Bible is solid as the Word of God. We cannot alter nor dilute the Word of God. And the day that is coming, when people are challenging the Scriptures, the other day they said, oh, the reason the Red Sea was parted was because there was a great wind came up. Well, I said, I accept that. It was still my God who created the great wind. I don't care how the great sea was parted. I know it was my God who did it. What you say, secularism and modernism and all this other stuff that they want to creep in is to dilute the very man of God. They hate the cross. The Bible says, why are you surprised they hate the cross? But Paul tells us in Corinthians, to the cross, to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To the world, the cross is a stumbling block. To admit there's a cross, it means to admit there's a Savior. And if you admit there's a Savior, then you have to admit there needs to be something done. And people have been suspended for wearing a cross. I want to tell you, the Bible says, though, if we honor Him, He will honor us. And I believe blessing will come to the church when God sees a church who stands up for what God stands for. I believe God honors when He sees that we do not dilute the Scriptures. I truly do believe that God is looking today of all days for a people who have integrity. So if we are integrity, we'll be a people of influence. I believe the world is crying for someone of influence in our world today. And we have the answer. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And here this church practiced paganism. I want you to know that this church, Thyatira, was originally the home of Lydia. You can see it in Acts 16. We know she is the first person, we believe, who responded to the gospel in Europe. You've done that a few weeks ago when I took you through the New Testament and Acts. This lovely lady was the first convert in Europe, we believe. She was from Thyatira. What a great start as Paul went down to a river. He didn't go to a big campaign meeting. He went and he saw a lady at a river. And he converted her. And she became into his home. And from there, Europe developed into evangelism. And people became to know Jesus. Thyatira is located about 20 miles southeast of Pergamos. Now let's take a look at this, shall we, for a few moments. I want you to notice how Christ introduces himself. Listen to what he says. This is how Christ introduces himself. These things says the Son of God. This is the first time that Jesus has introduced himself in the letters as the Son of God. This church, you see, was so full of idolatry. This church was so full of evil practices that God introduces himself of exactly who he is. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one exalted above all other places. This is God. And Jesus is saying to his church, I want you to know I am the Son of God. The same description, and then he goes on as he gives in Revelation chapter 1. His feet like fine brass. His eyes like fire. God wants you to know that God is still interested in his church. And his feet is fine brass. That stands for judgment. And Peter says in his epistle, judgment first begins at the house of God. Judgment first begins at the house of God. And in the scripture of Revelation chapter 1, as John sees him, he sees Jesus with feet like fine brass. I want to tell you, Jesus will one day judge the world. This world full of secularism, this world that has forgotten him, this world that says, no, we won't have you in our schools, this world that says, no, we've no time for you in our political life, this is the one that one day will judge the world. This is the Son of God. This is the one we serve this morning. He is the altogether I am, the El Shaddai. Thank you. Praise him. Because one day the world will praise him. At his name every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord both to him and the Father. I want to tell you there's a day coming when Jesus shall take his rightful place. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. I've got a God this morning. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the exalted one. And his feet is like fine brass. Speaking of judgment. His eyes are like a flame of fire. It speaks of discernment and nothing else. That he perceives everything that goes on. I want to tell you, God sees everything that goes on. God sees every wicked thought that we think. You know, sometimes we treat God as if he was on our level. I want to tell you, this is the Son of God. And I wonder how often he's been brokenhearted. It's seen his church dilute the gospel. When we don't say sin is sin. When we don't tell people that there is a hell. I'd rather they know that there is a place there is never knowing. And they end up in it. I want to tell you hell is real this morning. Hell is real. And there's no coming back. Our world needs to know that there is a loving heavenly Saviour. But they also need to know that today is the day of salvation. God can do nothing for anyone who crosses over the other side. How can we water down such a gospel? Jesus made it quite clear. Jesus made it clear. I don't believe he ever went out to offend anyone, but he made it clear. He spoke quite open to the Pharisees and the scribes. He called them open wide sepulchres. That's what he called them. He says, you think you know the truth? Go and search the scriptures. Friend, where do we stand when it comes to telling people that there is a day coming should they pass this scene of time and they don't know the Saviour? That they are lost. They're lost. And God loves them. God's desire is that every human being should come to know him. But Paul says, how can they know him if we don't tell them? Paul says, I boast in nothing else but what? The cross. Paul says, I shall boast in nothing else. Why? Because Paul knew that if he didn't preach the cross. In fact, Paul says, if anybody else preaches any other gospel, let him be damned. Apostle Paul knew. A man who was the most educated man. A man who was zealous like no other human being. A man who was religious above all religion. But one day he met the cross. And his whole life changed. And read the book of Galatians. 5 times the cross is mentioned in the book of Galatians. 5 times. Why in Galatians of all should Paul? Because the Galatian church were going back to the good old days, they thought, of the law. And Paul was saying, don't be so foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you? There's nothing can take the place of the cross, brothers and sisters. It's your only salvation. But it's also the only salvation for those who are lost. That's why we're doing an Alpha course. We'll only have an Alpha course in a few weeks' time if we have people, obviously, in the Alpha course. I'm hoping you're going to bring people. I think I've had one name at the moment. We need to fill them. People need to know there is a Jesus. But people know to know the reason why Jesus came. He didn't come to fill a space of time. He came that he might give his life a ransom for many. And I'm sorry, but it's our job to tell people the good news about Jesus. But it will involve, if you're openly and honest, the price you pay should you reject the offer that God gives. Please don't leave people in any doubt. You don't have to be offensive. But you must preach the cross. You must preach the cross. And so this church in Thyatira, Jesus has introduced himself as the Son of God. Has introduced himself as the one who sees everything going on in his church. And the one who said, listen, I will bring judgment. I will bring judgment. And he did bring judgment to this church. I want to tell you, he closed this church down. God will not stand and have his holy name dishonored. And I want to tell you, it's a warning for this church. And as long as I'm the minister and pastor of this church, we will seek to keep clean the word of God. Because I believe God removes as well as brings in. Let's carry on. I want to close. He says, I know your things I can commend you of. They are works, charity, service, faith and patience. Works were the credential of real believers. There were many who lived spotless lives. Hallelujah for people who are prepared to work in the church of God. We're doing a networking course with 3 young ladies. Well, I say young. 3 ladies in the church. And why are we doing it? Because I want them to produce their talents for the glory of God. We've got a baptism service tonight. And Katie has produced one of the most loveliest baptism certificates. And they're going to get a baptism certificate. But it took somebody to do some artwork to do that. Friends, we all got a part to play in this church. Every one of us have got a part to play. There were some people went to CAP yesterday. They took their day off and they went down to London to be trained so they can go into the community in the next year and they can say to the community, we can help you with your debt problems. We want to reach the community. Thank God for those 4 people who went out yesterday and did that. They're saying that they want to work for the kingdom of God. We have Wilf, 85-year-old. He sits at the back and he gives you a hymn book every week and he gives you a shirt every week. But he's faithful at 85-year-old to know that he's not finished in the kingdom of God. I know your work, says God. God says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, you have been saved to serve. Saved to serve. We have worship leaders. We have, singers. We have musicians here at the church. And we need more. And we need more people to do more things. We have a Sunday school rota. We're at the very depths of the Sunday school. We're scraping the barrel. Not with the quality of teachers, by the way. Our teachers are first class. But I'm talking about we have such a need for resource. Because I want our children to know about my Jesus. I want my teenagers. I've opened up a teenager class once a fortnight now, which I give up now. And I don't speak once a fortnight this Sunday evening. Hallelujahs have been shouted, amen. But I go into that porter cabin and I'm going to be with my teenagers. Because I don't want my teenagers to live the life that I led as a teenager. I don't want them to taste the world. You don't need to taste the world to know it's bad. But you've got to give somebody something in place of it. And if we haven't got anything for them, they'll go. So we do Alpha Youth every fortnight. And if I've got to go and pick these teenagers up, then I'll go and pick these teenagers up. Because I want to invest in our teenagers. I want them to go to university. I want them to come back from university still on fire for God. And a world of secularism that says it's okay for kids to try out drugs. And a world that says it's okay to sexually exploit your body. I want them to know that there's something much better than that. But we can only give them it if we're prepared to work. God says, I know your works. I know your service. I know your faith and I know your patience. I know your love. God at least says that they love him. There were people in this church who loved God. They didn't go to the sexual immorality of the other believers. Thank God there's always a section in the church who are pure. And they love their God. And I can think of people like Wycliffe. People who stood out. People who were prepared to be burned to the stake rather than give up for their God. I don't recommend you read Fox's Book of Martyrs because, believe me, you won't get halfway through it. I just had to put it down. But the people who have given up their lives rather than compromise the Word of God. A man who had to watch his 14-year-old child tied to a post. They stuck the post on the beach and they made him watch as the tide came in and the water covered his little girl rather than deny that Jesus is Lord. Can you imagine it? It's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Many, many people have stood the test of time. Our Bible is precious to us. Our Word of God is precious to us. Our Savior is precious to us. But for some people, it's cost them their lives. It's cost them their children's lives. But he has some things to condemn them as we finish. And that was they allowed a woman, Jezebel. And she went into the church and she taught false doctrine. She taught idolatry and she allowed immorality practices to go in. Just like the Jezebel of old. In 1 Kings 16:2, you can read all about her. And in 2 Kings 9. The name Jezebel is instantly signified as evil. King Ahab's wife Jezebel was one of the most evilest women that ever faced this planet. And she tried to annihilate Christians. She tried to annihilate the Jewish people who refused to bow down to her gods. And we all know what happened to Jezebel. Her word means seduce. And that's exactly what she did. And here, this woman Jezebel had come into the church. And she was seducing people from departing from truth. What did Paul say to Timothy? He said, before I go, Timothy, I want you to know there are perilous times coming. I want you to know there are wolves going to come in who are going to devour the sheep. And I want to tell you something. We need to stand for the truth. It's where I start. It's where I'm finishing. But I want to tell you something. We cannot depart from the truth if I keep saying it. We need to cling to the Word of God this morning. We cannot do anything else but stand by what God has said in His Word. When you compare this woman Jezebel to this woman who this church is named after, Thyatira, this lovely girl called Lydia who was the first Christian. Jezebel was teaching the people to compromise God's standards. She was allowing things to go on in the church. And what was sad is the believers stood by and allowed it to happen. And they allowed God's name to be really ridiculed and condemned. You see, it's sad when a church is no better than the world outside. I'm serious, it's sad if a church is no better than the world outside. How do we expect to attract people in unless they see something different? You know, you don't have to be dull and miserable. Because the Bible says in Christ's presence there's fullness of... What is there? There's fullness of joy. Come on, we should be smiling. We have a Savior. We have a future not only now, but a future yet to come. We have somebody who walks with us every moment of every day. The churches should be the most happiest of places. I love our worship. Don't you enjoy your worship here on a Sunday morning? Amen. It's great to see people exuberant in worship. I believe heaven's going to be filled like that. I believe, seriously, I believe we've got a fun God. But with boundaries. With boundaries. I believe our God is something worth celebrating. I believe tonight's service, I don't care if you go to a pub or a pop concert, I believe it will not compare to tonight's service. I believe that my God is a God of fun. But God has got something to say as we conclude right now. There were some who were faithful and had compromised. And to them he said, I'm bearing no other burden to you except keep going. Church, let's just keep going. Come on, let's hold fast and just keep going. That's all we're saying. Listen, if we don't amount to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, it doesn't matter. We keep going. We keep going. Be faithful right to the very end. That's all God's interested in. Let Him sort out the rest of the stuff. Now, we are growing. It's grown. It's great to see so many in here again this morning. We have so many away. It's fantastic. Maybe the place could be filled tonight again. Oh, that's great. But that's not the key. The key is that God just wants you and your personal life to keep going. To keep going. Just be faithful to Him. In times of adversity and in times of good things. He says, I put no other burden on. Just keep going. Because one day you'll get to heaven. And God's have promised you He's going to give you authority and power. He's given us those things already by prayer. Did you know that we can heal the sick in the name of Jesus? He's given us His authority and His power. Do you know the Bible says that we can pull down strongholds? The Bible says that. Hallelujah. Come on, cheer up, brothers and sisters. Bring it up. You can pull down strongholds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you can bring down the rebels who stand against you. Because He says all authority and all power has been given unto the name of Jesus. Go you into all the world. Use the authority and use the power that we have. And some of you really do want to read a book called Intercessory Prayer by Dutch Sheets. I want to tell you something. God has given us His power and His authority. And in His name, what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. This is the God. This is the God we serve as we close. But God says one day you will have authority and power in heaven. And Jesus says, I'll give you the morning star. The morning star. A lot of people, that simply means that one day we'll be with Him who is the morning star. He promises the rapture. You see in Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, the children of Israel, they waiting for the Son of Righteousness. That's what it says in Malachi chapter 4, 2. But in Revelations 22, 16, it says the church is waiting for the morning star. Friend, are you waiting for the morning star this morning? I long for the morning star to come. Because the day is coming when the morning star is going to appear. And we shall be taken. And we shall go with Him. He that hath an ear to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches this morning. Friend, keep faithful. Use His authority and His power. Look for the morning star. Because I believe as a church, we will be pure as long as our eyes are fixed upon Jesus. I'm closing with this lovely hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow in the light. Let's say that together because I really mean it. You see, if we're looking unto Jesus, we're not worried about what's happening in our circumstances. Look unto Jesus, we'll keep ourselves pure. We'll keep ourselves holy. We will not dilute the Word of God. We'll stand fast and we'll be faithful. And God will be so pleased with us. That's all I want, God to be pleased. I want God to be pleased. Let's just say that hymn together as I close. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.